Hello, hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Kirsty Seawood, behavior scientist and body image healing coach. Each week, I'll bring to you wisdom and insights from my lived experience and my decade of coaching in the health, nutrition, and wellness space. My gift to the world and to you is how deeply I can see and understand you. You can expect raw, vulnerable, and powerful content. My commitment to you is that I will not hold back. The wisdom I share is to help you cultivate self-awareness, reconnect with your body, deepen the most important relationship you have, the one with yourself, and to help you step into the most radiant and authentic version of you. You are worthy. You are enough. I am so grateful you're here right now. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode number 9 of my podcast. I have to say again that I am so grateful for you listening to this podcast and to the wisdom that I have to share for you. I'm so grateful because this past week, the downloads on the podcast have skyrocketed and I'm blown away. And I have to say that's because of you guys who listen and share each episode with those in your life who you believe that it may resonate with. But I just want to say thank you to you because these downloads are coming from you, the shares are coming from you, and I am so grateful. And I'm so grateful that the opportunity was here to start this platform because I am 100% enjoying this platform and bringing you the wisdom, bringing you along for the journey and speaking into practices and things that I would teach my clients and support my clients through. And I am just really enjoying this new platform and I'm so grateful for the support that you're showing for it. And so thank you. Thank you. We're at episode 9. And today I wanted to share, well, tonight, I'm actually recording this in the evening. To keep it real, I'm actually sitting on my bed right now with Murphy, my little puppy, and we're recording this podcast for you, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now. I am loving this platform and being of service to you and sharing this. So tonight I wanted to share with you 5 ways to honor your energy. Now, I truly believe that our energy is our measure of health. Because if you don't have the energy to do the things that you love and to care for yourself and support those around you or to live, if you don't have the energy to live your life to the fullest in a way that lights you up, then that's, I believe, not a great quality of life, right? And they say like things are thrown around all the time, like your weight's a measure of health or something else might be a measure of health. But I truly believe that your energy is the ultimate measure of your health. Because your energy introduces you before you even speak. And I know we've all been in a room before where someone may have walked in and you've just felt their energy, their magnetic, their aura, like you felt their energy before they've even spoke, right? Because your energy introduces you. Your energy, people can feel your energy before you even speak. Before you're even in their presence, they can feel you. And anyone who's into energetics and quantum physics, which I'm so into, I've been diving into that for the past 12 months, you know, like you'll know about how our frequency and our vibration is felt by those around us. And you may have a friend who, when you spend time with them, you just walk away feeling so lit up and so positive after spending time with them. And then you may also have the opposite, which I'll talk about today, of when you spend time with certain people, you might feel really drained or exhausted after it. So that's what energy is. And your aura or your energy introduces you before you even speak, and it is felt. Your energy is felt by others and those around you. And I truly believe that your energy is the ultimate measure of health or wellness. And so I wanted to talk today about some really practical ways, just five ways to honor your energy. And these are all things that I myself have been integrating throughout my healing journey. And again, things that I would be teaching my clients or supporting my clients to work through as well. And they're quite simple things. And I guess you could say this is a lead on episode or an extension of last week's episode, where I spoke into awareness, acceptance, and action. And these are five ways to honor your energy, which you could bring that three-step model into actioning these, or integrating these into your life as well to honor your energy. So let's get started. This is probably going to be a shorter episode than the ones I've previously released, but I say that now, but I can talk. So let's see how it goes. So the first one, number one, is declutter. So to honor your energy, we show up, or I know I show up better when I'm in an environment that's not cluttered, that's got things in my surroundings that are aligned to me, which is neat, tidy, organized, and is not cluttered, right? So one really easy way to honor your energy, and you could do this room by room if you wanted to, and if you're ever feeling stuck or stagnant in life, or even overwhelmed or ungrounded, if you're ever feeling ungrounded, a really good way to shift your energy is to declutter an environment or a room in your house. So if it's your office, for example, so I know when I work best when my office area, my desk, is tidy and clean and organized. And I know that those weeks or those days when I've probably overcommitted myself, or have a lot on my plate and my paper starts to build up around me, and notes and things and some books might start to, and just clutter in my general workspace. And I feel like that's a mirror of my actual mind and how in my overwhelm that's going on in my inner world, right? So your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. So we function, or I function, and this has been shown that we function best when we have an environment that is uncluttered, which is organized and clean, and supports us to think clearly as well. So if you're ever feeling stagnant or stuck in your work, look at shifting and decluttering the energy in that space. So you could even rearrange the room as well and shift the furniture and bring a new energy to it. But decluttering is a really good way to honor your energy. And so doing things like cleaning out that drawer, right? That one drawer. And I know we all have this drawer, the drawer where you just throw everything in and you're like, I'll sort it out later. Or that's my go-to drawer that's got all the stuff in it, right? But it's not really organized. Clean that out, throw things away, donate things, clear out that energy, because physical things are energy. It's matter. It holds energy. So clear it out and create space for new things to come. Declutter your cupboard, your clothes. If you've got things in there that you haven't worn in a long time, and I have a rule now that if I haven't worn something in, say, over a year or in the last 12 months, I regularly do this now. I clean out my cupboard and declutter and donate things or sell things on. It has to go. If I haven't worn it in 12 months, then it has to go. And this allows, like, it's so refreshing, and it allows just a fresher energy and to get rid of that stuck feeling. You feel so cleansed when you do this. So go through your cupboard, donate things that you can donate, give them away, sell them if you'd like to as well, and declutter your environment. Also look at, clean out that drawer, go to your kitchen and especially if you're trying to focus on nutrition and nourishment, what does your kitchen look like? Is it cluttered and is there lots of stuff on the bench that's getting in the way and not making like meal prep easy? Or is your pantry organized? Do you know where things are? Are things easy to find? Are your go-to spices available for you to grab? Are your go-to utensils there? Your Tupperware drawer, how organized is it? How easy is it to navigate? So you could do this room by room. And I love Marie Kondo. I think that's her name. If I've got it wrong, I'm sorry. But go through and organize each area, each room of the house and shift the energy. And like I said, when I used my example and said that when I feel like when I'm having an overwhelmed week or I've got a lot on, my office space can sometimes start to mirror my inner world. So if you are trying to work on a certain area of your life, like nutrition, your kitchen environment is a big factor in you building habits that support you to nourish your body in the way that you desire. So if your kitchen's not in a state that feels overwhelming to be in, it's unlikely that building new habits in that area of your life around nourishment and nutrition will come with ease for you, because the actual environment where you are trying to make those changes is not one of ease to be in. If it's overwhelmed and cluttered and there's no room in the fridge or you haven't got the right utensils, look at decluttering and creating a space that is supportive of that. So the first way to honor your energy is to declutter. And trust me, it feels so good when you start discarding things, whether it's recycling, donating, or throwing them away, that are no longer serving you. Discard them. Get rid of them. Donate them. Number two is to spend time alone. Now, before going on my healing journey, I always had to be busy. I was always doing something, and usually involved either working, right, or socializing and always doing something or being around people. And I didn't spend a lot of time alone. And when I did spend time alone, I was distracted doing something. So I would not really be sitting alone with my thoughts, never really purely resting, or spending time alone in nature. I would be like watching TV, Netflix, just really not present in the moment with myself. And I know if you've listened to some episodes previously of mine, you'll know that I talk a lot about coming into the present moment and mindfulness. Spend time alone, like get to know yourself, date yourself. The more you know yourself and you're connected to yourself, the easier it becomes to honor your energy, because you know what is true for you. And if you're always spending time with other people and doing, saying yes to all the things and doing other things with other people and for other people, it can be hard to know that if they're things that you truly enjoy, or if you're simply saying yes because you feel like you have to or you should, versus if they're actually in true alignment for you. So one of the best things that I have done through my healing journey is really started to get comfortable with spending time alone and enjoy that time alone. And being single for 3 and a bit years has been such a blessing for me. I once used to look at it like it was, I was behind, right? How am I single? I should be married with kids by now, right? But this period of my life where I've been single has been one of the biggest growth times of my life, and a time where I've got to be so selfish with my time and really get to know myself. So date yourself, take yourself on dates, go to the cafe by yourself, go to the movies by yourself. Enjoy time and get to know what you really like. Get to know what you really like and enjoy, because the more you know what you enjoy and you like, the more ease, you'll be able to communicate that to others, say friends, family, and you can have those conversations and show up in alignment as well. But it comes down to being true to ourselves. And also, when I talk about spending time alone, dedicate some of that to rest. Stop doing, being in the doing energy all the time, and allow yourself to rest. But true rest, like actually rest, not distracted rest or busy rest, which is what I talk about with my clients. And that's like busy rest or distracted rest is like when you're might be laying on the lounge but still watching Netflix, or you're still listening to a podcast or reading a book or something. It's still being stimulated somehow. So give yourself some time to really sit in nature, sit in your own thoughts, sit in the sun for a while without having to distract yourself by doing something. Sit just in your beingness and start to connect with your thoughts, your emotions. Start to get comfortable just being you on your own. So that's point two. Point three is to be mindful. So point three to how to honor your energy is be mindful of what you're consuming. Now, when I talk about consuming in this sense, I'm not talking about food specifically here. I'm talking about what you are consuming in terms of media, social media, even books, knowledge, education, conversations. What content are you consuming and is it serving you? So, for example, let's talk about social media. Are the pages that you're following, the people that you're following, are they in alignment to the life you wish to build or the life you wish to live or the way you desire to feel? Does your social media feed make you feel good? Or do you feel worse after you look at it? Do you feel disempowered? Do you feel like you're stuck in comparison mode when you jump off social media? Are you consuming content that's no longer in alignment to you, that just doesn't make you feel good? And a good way to assess this or to determine this and we'll bring awareness to it is to, before you open social media, ask yourself, why am I opening this? So start to get real with yourself about how much time you spend on social media and why you're actually going on there. So set the intention. So it might be, I'm going on social media. I desire to go on social media to consume knowledge, or in a certain area, it might be around mindset, for example. Then go on your social media, and when you finish scrolling, reflect again and be like, did my experience on social media, so did what I consumed on social media in that time just then, mirror what I desired or what my intention was? So did it match my intention? If yes, amazing. If no, start to think about how you can cultivate your feed, your social media feed, to match the intention that you desire. So is it unfollowing certain pages? Is it looking for new pages to follow? Is it using that really convenient and nice mute button? So if you don't wish to unfollow someone, you can mute them, which is, you're allowed to do that. So you might feel that unfollowing someone is, you may feel that like that's putting up a strong wall, that you're not quite ready to take that step, but you could just mute that person or mute that account if it's not making you feel good, because social media can be such an incredible and empowering tool, but you're in control of it. You can be in control of it, and you have permission to cultivate a newsfeed that makes you feel that way. So really have to think about what you're consuming on social media and also other media too. I personally don't watch the news much at all. Because I don't like to be bombarded with so much fear all the time. So for me, I really have strong boundaries up around how much of the news I consume or where I get my news and information from. So be mindful of that as well. What kind of books, podcasts are you consuming, and are they in alignment to you as well? So if you're trying to grow in a certain area, are you listening to podcasts in that area? Or are you listening to, I guess, things that aren't really helping you grow or helping you develop or grow as a human in the way that you desire? So just have a think about what kind of books or even podcasts you're consuming, and are they in alignment for you? And also, what kind of conversations are you having? Yeah, this is a big one. So are you having conversations with those around you that light you up, or and talk about goals and growth and healing and depth? Like, are the conversations, are they deep, or are they really superficial and filled with gossip and negativity? Like, what kind of conversations are you surrounding yourself with, or what are you consuming? Kind of conversations are you consuming? Do they challenge you? Or are you finding that all the conversations you're having, they just have the same opinion as you, and you find that they're not challenging you and they don't allow you to grow? So I love the proximity that I surround myself with. I love the in-depth conversations that come from the people that I surround myself with, and how they challenge my views and they bring new perspectives to me as well. And I actually really value it when someone doesn't agree with my opinion, or if someone has a really interesting or different view on a subject, because that's an opportunity for me to grow. It's an opportunity for me to expand my awareness, challenge my edges and my perceptions, and grow. And I, after that conversation, I still may have a different view to that person, but being surrounded by people that have different views and values allows me to also grow as a person as well, and brings a new perspective and challenges me, right? So think about the types of conversations you're having, and are they lighting you up? Or are you leaving those conversations feeling drained, or not feeling inspired or lit up when you leave those? So we've got declutter, spend more time alone, be conscious of what you're consuming. And the next one is, it kind of leads into that, and it's about how to honor your energy and the proximity that you surround yourself with. So I've kind of touched on it a little bit, but when it comes to healing or to growth, it's challenging to heal in the same proximity. I will be really honest when I say that. The healing journey is, you start to challenge yourself, right? You are, and I mentioned a couple of things just then, you're pushing, you're testing your edges, and you're unraveling your perceptions. You're asking yourself the deep questions of, where did these, where did my conditioning come from? Where did this belief come from? Is it real? Is it true to me anymore? And it can be hard to shift behaviors, beliefs, and identities of yourself in the same proximity. And this is why it's so valuable. It's honestly one of the best investments, and this is why I can continue to invest in myself, in surrounding myself with people who are on a similar journey or have been where I wish, who have been where I wish to be, and surrounding myself with those who can support the journey that I wish to go on. And I absolutely love when my clients say that the community that we've built through my coaching programs, they are all so connected to each other, and they see so much value in the connections they have with each other and the vulnerable space that they've created there in my group coaching programs, to be seen as themselves and be seen deeply and raw and vulnerably and have that connection with other women. who are on the same body image healing journey and healing the relationship they have with themselves. So think of the proximity that you surround yourself with, because proximity is really, really powerful. And they say that you are like the five people that you spend the most time with. And I can say that I believe that is 100% true. And it is, because their views, their beliefs, their perceptions, their aura rubs off on you, right? So their energy can affect your energy. And if you're surrounded by positive people who are driven and passionate and growth mindset, it's very different environment to be in versus being surrounded by scarcity or lack or negativity, toxicity. And if you want to grow and heal, having a look at the conversations and the proximity around you is a really key thing to do. And I did a live with Laura, a holistic psychologist, last week on this, and I'll share the link in the podcast notes to that live so you can go and watch it. And we spoke about honoring relationships, like whether they're friendships or any connections, and honoring the timeline of friendships and how letting go of certain friendships or connections can actually be a really beautiful opening to allow new ones to come in. So when we build connections, when we first meet people, we meet them when we're a certain identity of our own, right? When we meet them at a certain level of awareness or a certain period of our life. And it's a beautiful thing to honor that we're allowed to grow and we're allowed to evolve, and we want people to come on that journey with us. And if we start to evolve and expand and we find that we're feeling disconnected, because this can happen when you start on your healing journey, you can start to feel disconnected to those around you. And that's why the proximity of being in the proximity of people who can hold the space for you throughout the healing journey, can hold that vulnerable space for you, can allow you to see yourself more deeply because they've seen themselves that deeply as well, is really, really important. But when you feel this disconnection as you start your healing journey, it's an opportunity to bring that person along with you, like invite them to come on this healing journey with you, or it's an opportunity to also honor that connection may have done its life cycle, and it's okay to let it go, because that opens up a beautiful space for a new connection to come in. And so you have permission to be seen for all that you are and be seen for everything that you are. And the world wants you to be seen for all that you are. So as you evolve and expand, it's okay to let connections go that no longer serve you. So I just want to say that because it is probably one of the most challenging times of the healing journey, when you start to feel and speaking from personal experience, as I've been on my healing journey, I have craved deeper connections, and I find it quite challenging now to have just superficial kind of connections. I crave those deeper conversations. I crave seeing others deeply, seeing others vulnerable, hearing about their journeys, their stories, their vulnerabilities, because then I get to show mine as well and be authentic and show up as me. So looking at the proximity that you've got around you can really honor your energy, and know that it's okay to let go of connections or just reassess what that relationship or that connection brings to you and what you bring to that connection. I know I've spoken about this in previous episodes, but the dynamics or what we bring from relationships or what we gain what we get from relationships and what we bring to relationships can also change. So what we once went to a certain friend or connection for may no longer be the same level of depth in that connection, but we can still honor that it can stay in our, that that connection can be a part of our life, but it may not be, we may not spend as much time, or we may change what we desire to get from that connection. So just assess, who are you surrounding yourself with, and how do you feel? How does your energy feel after spending time with those around you in your circle? And the fifth point and the final way to honor your energy that I'm going to talk about today is being intentional about sparking joy in your life and being intentional about doing the things that you love, the things that light you up. And the reason why I wanted to include this, because many of us, or many clients that I've worked with, have this mindset that we have to earn the right or earn the time to do things that we enjoy. Like, I can only go to the beach once I've ticked X, Y, and Z off, or I can only do this once I achieve this other thing. And I want to challenge this, because when we intentionally schedule or plan to do things, and I am a big advocate for intentionally scheduling things that of like self-care or things that specifically bring you joy, and writing them in your diary or in your calendar or your schedule and committing to them just as you would commit to something like your exercise or like a work meeting, you should be committing to bringing joy to your life just like you would commit to a work meeting and showing up for that. Because sparking joy in your life for yourself is just as important, if not more important, for your beingness and for your energy. Because when you do things that light you up, it makes you feel more fulfilled, more grateful, and more connected to yourself. And it brings out to your authentic self. It brings out your creative energy, and you show up better for other things in your life as well. And there is a saying, and I can't remember it exactly, but let's go along with the gist of it. that it's like, we're unhappy, or we feel unfulfilled, not because we're not doing enough, but because we're not doing enough of the things that light us up and bring us joy. We constantly put conditions on these things. So to honor your energy, I challenge you to have a think about, how often do I schedule things that actually bring me joy? And when I go to do these things, how committed am I to doing them? Or are these the things that when they come up and I feel overwhelmed that I've got five other things to do, or I've said yes to other things, how often do I put things that bring me joy on the back burner or put them behind doing other things? And just have a think about that. Because it's really, really, and from personal experience, the more I have scheduled these things in or committed, have had an intention of doing these things, and they can be little things like having a candlelit shower or sitting in nature, having a warm cacao in the sun at 10 a.m. on a weekday morning, making sure I go for like my morning walk and getting in nature. Committing to these things that really bring me joy helps you show up better, because it lights you up. And I want to challenge you on this. Like, these are not the things that should be on the bottom of your to-do list. Like, I get to do them once all these other things are done. These should be at the top. because they affect your energy and your aura. And remember, your aura is what people feel before you even speak, before you even enter the room. And you're allowed to, you have permission to feel joy. You have permission to put yourself first and honor what brings you joy. So the way you can go about this, if you wish, this is a little strategy you can use, is just make a list of, say, 10 to 15 things that bring you joy. So whether it's spending time with a certain loved one or a connection, whether it's having a candlelit shower is one of my things. I absolutely love it. Whether it's taking half the day to go sit at the beach or going for a walk along the beach, whatever it is, make a list of, say, 10 to 15 things. And then I want you to schedule them into your week. Actually write, like, walk on the beach, like, get my feet in the sand, sit in the sun and drink my cacao, have my coffee in the sun, have my coffee on the beach. Write these things in your schedule and commit to doing them. And when it gets that time to doing them, show up for them the same as you would show up for something like a work meeting or an exercise. You show up and you're committed to that. Commit to yourself. That is one thing I constantly say to myself. When you'll notice, if you follow me on Instagram, I hashtag it a lot. It's commitment to self. Commit to sparking joy. So schedule for the next 4 weeks, one to two, maybe even three things off your joy list. Schedule three of those in each week for the next month and then see how your energy feels. And if it gets to that thing, like if it gets to that day of the week or the time of the week where you've put that activity in and you're feeling resistance to doing it, ask yourself, why am I feeling resistance to this? What's coming up for me that I don't feel worthy that I can do this right now? Or is it not that I feel worthy, or what pressures, or what's the resistance? What's the feeling behind this? Why is this resistance coming up? Ask yourself, get curious about why this resistance is coming up to sparking joy. Ask yourself and go from there. So there are five things. You can probably tell that I'm very passionate about the last one, the way that I spoke about it. But on overarching all of this, and I have done a podcast episode on reflection, but overarching all of this and is reflection. Reflect on where you're investing your energy. Where are you investing your time? Where are you investing your energy into? What kind of conversations? What are you consuming? As part of your evening reflection, ask yourself, where did I invest my energy today? Did I invest it in things that served me? Or am I investing my energy in things that no longer serve me? How do I feel about the things I'm investing my energy in? These are some really good reflection questions you can use to help guide you when you're thinking about your energy, because energy, I truly believe, is the currency of health. Because your energy is the way you show up. It's your aura. It's the felt. It's your presence is felt and your energy is felt. And we live in a world where we're so connected, right? We are so connected. We have all the technology in the world to connect us, yet we're so disconnected to ourselves and our energy and what serves us and where we're investing our energy. So I did say this might be a shorter one, but I've gone for about the same time of all the other episodes. So I'm going to leave it at that for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If it resonated, please, as always, continue to share it with your loved ones. Share it on Instagram and tag me at Dr. Kirsty Seawood so I can share it on and I can thank you for sharing it. Again, I am so grateful for you all listening to the wisdom that I have to share. Have a wonderful day.